Hello and welcome to the Oxygen Addict Triathlon Podcast. We're brought to you every week by our sponsors, PrecisionHydration.com.
Precision Hydration offer electrolyte drinks in different strengths to match how you sweat. Personalize your hydration strategy today at PrecisionHydration.com and get a free box or tube of pH worth up to $9.99 using the code OxygenAddict.
And we're also brought to you courtesy of our patrons,
who support the show with a very kind monthly donation. You can get our 2018 Patrons Only podcast as a thank you.
All right, and welcome to the show. It is the 18th of June as we're recording today. Hels, how are you today?
I'm very, very well. Thank you, Rob. How are you? You've been racing.
I have been racing, yeah. I've got some little racing updates for you later on. We've got quite a lot of racing updates today, actually, haven't we? We've got the European champs from Elsinore, Denmark. We've got Lakesman and Lakesman Half. We've got also news from Extreme Triathlons, Keltman and Triathlon X. We've also got a great interview with Fenella Langridge, who has recently been on three podiums in three races at the 70.3 distance. So exciting stuff coming up in the show today. But most exciting for me, Hels.
Yes, tell me.
Was making it to the finish line of a 70.3 this week.
Yes, yes! Get in. How was it? Tell us. We want to know, what was it like? What is Lakesman like? What's Lakesman Half like? What is it, a good race? Should we all come and do it? And how was it for
yes,
you?
Yes, 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 and yes. Loved it. It was hats off to Phil Wilson and his team up there. It's, I think, hands down the friendliest race I've ever done. The team, it just feels like a massive community event. It seemed like half of the town in Keswick were out marshalling, millions of marshals everywhere. Everybody's super friendly and super helpful. And I think there were about 350 in the full race and about 500 and odd in the half race. But it had one of those big event feels. They'd taken over a huge car park in the middle of Keswick by the lake with an enormous marquee for the athletes' village, another enormous marquee where, you know, that kind of the big event where you get a bag for your bike, a bag for your run, a bag for your dry kit, and you all have a little hook that you hang them on. Yeah. So it really felt like, you know, I was really impressed with that from the start. Beautiful setting. Lake was amazing. Clear, warm water to swim in. Stunning scenery. And yeah, just had a great old time. Bike course was a mix of some really good, fast, super fast time trialing, smooth tarmac roads and some windy, more countrysidey type roads. I think the Lakesman course, the full race is more on the main roads. And so it's got a reputation for being a bit faster, but it was a real good, honest, genuine course and had a lot of fun. Probably went a bit too fast, if I'm honest. Certainly hadn't done enough miles.
Pacing wise, Rob.
Say again?
Pacing wise, you mean? Cocked it up?
Do you know what? Maybe not. I had a look at the power file. The power was pretty even. It's just I got to about 70k, and we'll get to Rob's list of tremendous mistakes not to make later on in coach's couch. But I forgot to put chamois cream on, and added with lack of time in the time trial position, I got to about 70k, and I just couldn't stay down in the aero bars. My undercarriage was so sore, and I was laughing to myself, thinking, there's no way you were ever going to get away with this. And you know, when in your head you're like, I feel like I should be finished in 2:30. And I was on the bike for more like 2:45. So that last 15 minutes was just agony. I was sitting up and it was into a headwind. And it's like, I know I've got to be in the aero position. I just can't. It feels like I'm being rubbed by sandpaper. So, so I managed to get it back to the finish line. And then, yeah, the run was a bit of a suffer fest, as they always were, but dead friendly, chatted to loads of people on the way round. Everyone was obviously in the same sort of suffer fest type mindset as well. And the run was like a 5 laps for both the full and the half. So the lap was longer for the full. They had a couple of dog legs extended onto it, which is pretty clever. So your supporters saw you 5 times on the run, whether you're doing the full or the half.
That's really good. And that's what you need, isn't it?
Exactly. You came right in back through transition. The crowds were like 2 people deep for probably 500 meters, I would say, on both sides of the road. The kids were high-fiving you, and it was really, really well done. It was great. So yeah, really enjoyed it. Super, super great race. Totally recommend it for other people for next year. Yeah, good.
And that's awesome. And Keswick is like a place, Rob, is it's just such a brilliant place, isn't it? And a lot of people might have been there, you know, over the past couple of weeks because they had the Keswick Mountain Festival and stuff, didn't they? Oh, I love it. I love it. I've been there to the Banff Film Festival and we ran around Derwent Water. I've never swum in it, but it looks a very nice place to
swim and bike and run. Yeah. Clear water. And there's a big island just off the... just off the shore. So for the half, you basically swim around the island, which is awesome. I love that kind of, you know, the adventurous swim kind of thing where you're going around something for a reason. It's my kind of mindset because I look at things and go, I'd like to swim around that. But yeah, it was really, really good. And I managed to sneak onto the podium in my age group. How about that, then?
Did you?
Yeah, snuck third place.
That's great.
Yeah. Not so bad. I think I was... I don't know, 25th or something overall. But yeah, I was really pleased with that. It was good after, you know, when you're just out and you're just suffering the whole way around thinking, oh, I'm really not doing as well as I thought I would. And then you get to the finish and see the results and go, oh, I've done a lot better than I thought I had here. My mum and dad, bless them, had followed along online. They had a really good online tracker. My dad phoned me and he was like, I've been following you all morning. And mum said, he's not left the computer for 2.5 hours. Because it was updating like twice a lap on the run as you went past it. It's like he's gone from 6th to 5th to 4th to 3rd. Oh, it's been dead exciting, Rob. Bless him.
That's yeah, I can see you that right there, Rob. So Matthew Wagstaff was the winner, wasn't he, in 4:58. And then Chris Freer, local guy, Tri Lakeland, 2nd, 5 hours. Rob Wilby, Team Oxygen Addict, 5:12.
Sneaks in 5:12. Yeah, so loved it. It's fired me back up again for a bit more proper training and have another crack at something else in another month, I think.
Rob, by the way, what on earth were you doing in T2?
Well...
seriously, what were you doing? Come on, explain that. That's 4 minutes. 4 minutes, Rob Wilby. Seriously, you've got to go down to 10th in your age group for someone to take 4.5 minutes. What on earth were you doing?
You know that scene in Austin Powers where he comes out of cryogenic freezing and goes for a pee and it goes on for 2 minutes? I went into the porta potty and there was a marshal sitting right outside the porta potty and I came back out and he looked at me and he was like, are you okay? I reckon I lost 3 pints of liquid. It was the longest wee in the history of the world.
The person above you was in T2 for 1:47.
Yeah,
the person beneath you, 2:20. What were we? 4 minutes.
It probably was 2 solid minutes of urination. There you go.
Great. Great.
There's a quote for the back of the T-shirt.
Oh, well done. I'm really pleased for you, Rob. So what's next for you?
I think... I'm quite fancy having a crack at the Vitruvian, actually, at the end of the summer.
Ooh.
Yeah, quite fancy a crack at that. I like that race. I've done it a few times and, yeah. You know, you've done one a few times and you kind of, you kind of get to see where you stack up against your former self.
Yep.
Yeah, so go and give that a go.
Oh, brilliant. I love this. Okay, well, we're going to talk a bit later about what we're doing next weekend, aren't we?
Yes.
I'm ignoring that.
Yes.
Back to the Lake District. Shall we head over to the 70.3 European Champs, Rob?
We shall indeed. Results sponsored by precisionhydration.com. So a massive thank you to Precision Hydration for getting me personally through the race at the weekend. Desperately needed some hydration salts at the end of that race, which I think we'll talk about during Coach's Couch. But you guys can get yourself a free box or tube of Precision Hydration worth up to $9.99 using the code OXYGENADDICT. If you haven't taken their online sweat test, get on it and do that. And if you get the chance to go and see them in person and take the actual in-person sweat test, then you can go and do that. For someone who either is a heavy sweater or a salty sweater, it can be invaluable. And like I said, we'll talk a little bit more later on in the Coach's Couch section about how it affects people like me when they get it wrong. Needless to say, Hells, I rocked up to the race fully prepared with all my little sachets and tablets and things. Unfortunately for me, the little bag that I had all it in fell out of my actual big bag and I couldn't find when I got to T2. So I was just a little bit wibbly wobbly at the finish line yesterday, and we'll come on to talk about, you know, it's quite interesting the effect it had on me not having all the salt that I needed and then the transformation that happened once I got given it, but we'll get to that later on. So thanks for that, PH. I had the PH bobble hat on during the day before as I was racking because it was a bit chilly. And someone came up to me and went, nice hat, mate. One of those guys who you're like, I went, thank you. And I was like, really? Because you're wearing a Pirates t-shirt. You want to be commenting on my fashion? And then the next day I saw the same guy when I was in the race and I had the race cap on. And he was like, you've got another cap. You must be sponsored by them or something. I said, kind of. I didn't want to get into the whole thing, but I was rocking the brightly coloured hat for sure.
Good. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, it's all good. All right, so let's kick it off then with the 70.3 European Championships held in Elsinore in Denmark.
Yep. So, Rob, I was in Denmark this weekend, Copenhagen actually, but I didn't go down. It's about 45 minutes away to Elsinore.
You were in Denmark.
There you go. But I
didn't
quite
ask you what you were up
boxes.
To this weekend. How rude of me.
That's okay.
You're in Denmark, clearly.
I was in Denmark. I was inspired by Danish people who take cycling in city centres to a whole new level. And
don't
it's
they just...
Oh, my God. It's amazing.
In Copenhagen?
Yeah.
Isn't it awesome?
So bikes outnumber cars. And I was walking to the train station this morning. And it was, you know, rush hour on a Monday morning. And I was thinking, this really is insane. Like, this is...
Yeah,
you know,
it's like being in Amsterdam, isn't it?
Yeah, major international city. And you have people of all ages on their bikes. And it's not like bike lanes here whereby you get, you know, a bus crossing over it or pedestrians walking out in the middle of you trying to go through or cars just turning and not looking or bike, you know, cyclists themselves jumping lights or anything like that. It's like everybody knows the rules. And all the lights are synchronized, so the cyclists go and the pedestrians go and the traffic sort of waits. And, yeah, not many helmets, but we hired bikes and cycled, you know, a fair way on bikes on Saturday, no helmets. But, you know, in the UK that you'd – like, I would feel really not great without a helmet.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Even going to the shops on your mountain bike, it feels odd, doesn't it, without a helmet on?
Yeah, yeah. Whereas out there, yeah, it still feels a bit odd because we're used to wearing them on our bikes, but I didn't feel in danger.
Yeah.
So there we go. Anyway, Rob, back to the European Championship, 70.3. Rudy von Berg of the USA won it just ahead of Adam Bowden, who was second, just 12 seconds down. But they had a right ding-dong on the run, Rob, those two. And then Bart Aeronauts of Belgium was third in 3:44. Great result, though, for Adam Bowden.
Yeah, 1:10, another really... I mean, it's getting ridiculous, isn't it, now? You've got to be running down in the 110s to be winning these races. And it sounds like he pulled himself back up onto Rudy's shoulder and then just kind of got out-sprinted at the end, didn't he, after a pretty titanic battle. So another great result for him at 70.3 distance. Well done, young man.
And then Mel Hauschild of Australia, who we've had on the show before, won in 4:07 ahead of home favourite Helle Fredriksson. And then Sara Svenk of Sweden was third in 4:17.
I remember that being a really good interview, actually. That was episode 88, if you want to go back and check it out, in September of 2016. God, that seems like a long time ago, doesn't it?
I know. I just remember that because you had her on when I was out at the Olympics.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, or the Paralympics at that point. Yeah,
it's dead funny. I Googled to find out what episode it was, and I was like, 2 years ago? It's been for 5 minutes, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's what happens when you get to be 45 hells. You get to start saying things like, it just seems like 5 minutes ago. Oh, I remember when you were so young.
Oh, don't. Right, shall we do the results from the Lakesman? I know we mentioned your age group, but...
Yeah, you do the Lakesman full and I'll do the Lakesman half and we can get them up that way. How about that?
Okay, fine. So Lakesman full, Daniel Bluff took the win in 9:15 ahead of Richard Anderson and then Graham Rans. And then the women, it was won by Lindsay Curry in 11:20. Then Karen Bridge was second and Rachel Jeff third in 11:34.
Over on the men's side, we had Michael Lavender take the win He came in 4:24. Mark Benson took second in 4:34. I met him afterwards as he closed with a 1:19 half marathon.
I did see that. That's
just mind blowing. And he was such like a nice, unassuming local lad. I think it was about 8 or 9 minutes faster than everybody else on the course that day. The winner ran a 1:28 and he ran 1:19. So it was astonishingly quick compared to some already pretty impressive runners. Yeah. And then Alex Foster took third in 4:34. Over on the ladies' side, we had a win for Lucy Biddlestone. She did 4:51. Natalie Beatty in 4:54 and Louise Harris in 5:03.
Nice. Should we carry on in the Lake District, Rob? Because there was Triathlon X going on. Now, you have done that race. I have seen pictures on it from this weekend, and it looked horrendous.
I think they got some proper mountain weather. Yeah, it was on and off raining in Keswick at low level on Saturday, and all the peaks were in cloud. So I imagine they got a very full-on mountain experience. So hats off to anybody who completes that race. I've had a look on their forum and there's some fairly epic race results on there and write-ups and stuff. So that's well worth people going and having a read actually on the Triathlon X forum on Facebook, because you really do get some stories of people battling out there for 18 and 19 hours. And yeah, top impressive stuff. The winner was Nicholas Michalski on the men's side in 13:36. Second was David Jackson, 13:43. And third overall, taking first female, was Corinne Clark in 13:56. Only 20 minutes off the overall win. That's astonishing, isn't it?
Isn't it amazing? So, Rob, I can tell you a little bit about Corinne Clark. She said, well, that was one wet and windy day. Glad with the result, First Lady. So she has been concentrating on cycling for the past couple of years and has decided to focus her attention back on triathlon. She's part of Team Vitfor, and I think Ellie Hairsine is also in that team. So they've done a little bit of training together, and she's recently done Mallorca 70.3, but I don't think Mallorca 70.3 at all compares to Triathlon X. And there's No, not at all. There's a really amazing photo of her, which she's got on her social media. She says, I think I quite like these ultra races. And she's there, Rob, and it just looks, I mean, she's there in gloves. She's got full on waterproof. You can just see this visor of her cap poking out under her hood. And the cloud is really dark grey and just really, really doesn't look particularly pleasant, and you can make out that the signs, the little red flags that they dot in on the terrain to help them find their way, but it does look very, very lonely up there. So congratulations to Corinne Clark.
Yeah, second there was Hannah Sage and third was Kate Morris. So awesome racing there. Well done to everyone who's completed that. That is a pretty incredibly epic day out, and I recommend it to everybody who wants to go out and find out where the limits are and go right past the limits and leave the limits over the horizon behind them and go off into the dark, fumbling about to find out whether they can make their way back again.
Rob, there was similar up in Scotland because it was Keltman as well this weekend. And in addition to the terrible conditions that they had at Triathlon X, it really looked pretty challenging, to say the least, at Keltman. But a familiar name, Rob, at the top of the standings, Harry Wiltshire set a new course record with 11:39.
Wow. So he's a lad who usually goes 8:30. So that kind of puts it in context, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly.
Extra 3 hours of exercise on your day for you at that kind of level. Nice one, Harry. Congratulations.
He said afterwards, Rob, fantastic day out. Thanks everyone for having me and making me feel so welcome. Thanks to all my supporters for getting me there and getting me around in a course record. It really was extreme try. And again, go onto his social media because he's put a photo up of just descending a ridge, Rob, and you can't see either side of it. And it just looks absolutely epic.
And First Lady home was Mijam Alik. And 14:05, which very solid time as well on that course. Well done.
Yeah.
Good. Have we got anything else there?
Yep, just a couple to let you know about, Rob. Susie Cheetham, second at 70.3 Luxembourg, and Beth Potter ran a 16:37 5K to finish second at the ITU Antwerp World Cup.
Not too shabby. Nice running, Beth. Good, good. Right, coach's couch this week. Hells, I thought we'd have a bit of a change from the advertised routine this week by me talking about all the mistakes I made racing this weekend to help other people not make them themselves. So I approached this with my, it doesn't matter how many years you've been doing this, 15 or 16 years for me, this is this season. So it's still possible to completely mess things up.
Go on.
All right. So do you want to, you read out my points here and then I will tell you what happened.
Okay, so mistakes not to make in your races, according to Rob Wilby. Number one, don't let your child wear your goggles on holiday.
Yeah. So we've just got back from a week in Greece. I forgot to take my little lad's goggles with him. So he wore my proper swimming goggles to play in the pool in. It turns out that that's not the best way to keep your goggles in fantastic shape, having a six-year-old with ice cream and chocolate-covered fingers. I was at the start line, sitting next to Alex Foster, chatting with him and trying to scrape chocolate off the inside of my goggles with my fingernail. He was going, "What are you doing?" I said, "I can't see where I'm going, Alex." I considered swimming without having goggles on. They were so scraped and covered in gunk. So, yeah, so don't do that. That's the first thing. Have a decent pair of goggles with you.
And I'm going to add a top tip on to this one, Rob. Take a spare pair as well.
Yep, had a spare pair. Guess where they were?
In the bag that you left or lost.
There you go. That's where they were.
Okay. Well, my tip for this one is definitely take a spare pair. And remember that if it's going to be very, very sunny, then you might want tinted lenses on your goggles. So it's always useful to have two pairs, one for sort of cloudy conditions and one for sunny conditions. And a third pair tip for just in case your child has wiped chocolate all over them as well.
All right. Okay. Tip number two.
Don't forget to put on chamois cream.
That's right. Now, this is always my top tip for everybody. And they go, surely that won't work. Surely if you put chamois cream on before you go into the swim, then it's going to have all washed off. It doesn't, though. It sits there perfectly happy and it does the job really well. So get yourself some good quality chamois cream. Get a good handful of it and get it on before you put your wetsuit on. Failing that, you can always take the extra 5 seconds it'll take to put some chamois cream on. Actually, when you get into T1 before you go out on the bike, all it does is it reduces the friction and stops you getting really sore bits down there. I, however, forgot to do that. The little bag I had with my chamois cream wasn't in my bag as expected. It was still on the floor of the camper van, which I found later on. So there we go. Get the chamois cream on, reduce the friction.
I must admit, Rob, I have never used chamois cream in a long distance race, but as I have mentioned before, I have absolutely used it on our crazy long bike rides.
It's a revelation, Hells.
Oh my God, it's amazing. So yes, that would definitely be coming into action this weekend. But again, I'll tell you more on that in a moment. Right, Rob, number three, don't forget your extra hydration salts.
So I had, I'll tell you what, I thought I wouldn't be so bad because it's only a half, but I put a load of those, the salt tablets that they've got so you can have them on the run. Had a spare one with me for the bike. It all went down great on the bike. And then when I got into T2, found I didn't have the salt tablets. They were still in a little bag that had fallen out of the big bag back in the camper van. So I thought, right, it'll be fine. It's not too hot. Dig in. It's not a full Ironman. But within a few minutes of crossing the line, I was feeling really unwell, really wibbly wobbly, fingers tingling, lightheaded. And my friend had to run back to the camper van, go and get the stuff for me, bring it back. I was in such a state, I ended up going to the athlete's village and pouring some salt into a glass and mixing it up to drink it. So if you suffer like I do, make sure you take care of that salt stuff. So the thing that was amazing, Hells, was I got one of the 1500 sachets, put it in a bottle, shook it up, drank it down all in one go. And within 5 minutes, I felt fine again.
Really?
So it was almost as effective as when I've been put on a drip in the past. As soon as I'd had that and, you know, started to get the blood pressure back up, I guess, felt fine. So it can make a big difference to idiots like me. So nice work, PH. Thanks very much, guys.
Now, okay. Rob, I think number four we've gone through already, because it says here, don't forget to pee on the bike. That might explain your 4 minutes.
It's hard to do it on a bike course that's mostly flat where it's time trialing. It's really hard to stop pedaling and pee on the bike, isn't it?
I agree. It's very, very difficult.
Really hard. I managed to pee enough just to make my shoes stink at the finish line, but not enough to get the seemingly 3 litres out that also needed to come. Can you pee during the swim? Have you ever tried to pee during the swim?
I've tried many times.
It's not easy, is it?
No, it's really not easy. Consciously, I tried doing it at Diva and I stopped kicking my legs.
And then we discuss like, the strangest stuff on this show, don't we?
And then I was like, no, it's not happening. It's not happening. And then I didn't actually go until I probably got home. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
As in, okay. I think I need it. And I'm like, oh, I really should go. No, then I did not go because I didn't go in transition at all. It must have been when I got home. That's all you need to do about dehydration, doesn't it?
Yeah, doesn't it?
Rob says here, don't forget to give your supporters extra salt tabs for the finish.
What can I say? That was my backup plan. Stick these in your pocket for me. And then I know I've got some spare just in case I need them. So all these, this is mainly for me. It's my don't forget to do this next time list. So I've got loads of, I basically just need salt taped all over my body, don't I?
Yeah.
I need to tape it to the top of my running shoes, tape it to my belt. It needs to be everywhere. That's what I'm going to do next time. Salt tabs on the race belt so I can always get at it.
Well, then you might be in a bit of a better place.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right, there we go. That's the end of Coach's Couch for this week. Got any questions for Coach's Couch, drop us a line to help@oxygenaddict.com. And I just want to say a big thank you to everybody who came up to me at the race. And there must have been 8 or 9 people came over and said they were listeners of the show and they really enjoyed it. So I really enjoyed chatting with you all. Met Lewis's mum, Jane Eccleston, which was nice as well. Lewis is out there taking photos, which I have to say, when you see a photo of yourself afterwards, you feel like you're moving a lot faster at the time, don't you? But then you see the photo and go, I really was just shuffling along.
Yeah, that was a shuffle. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was looking like a snail. Yeah. Okay. Oh, no. Both feet are not off the ground in that photo. No. They felt like I was, but...
Neither of my feet were off the ground. But I had a lovely chat with Jane Eccleston in Transition 1, which was good. Beat me out of the water. Solid swim, Jane. Well done. So it was all good. Right.
And Rob, similarly, everyone who kind of came up and said hello and brought Fuel by Cake books at Diva Triathlon, a massive thank you to everyone. And it was really, really lovely to meet so many people. So, and people who were such huge supporters as well. It's very kind. Thank you.
Yeah. Good, good. Right. I want you to tell us about this week's interview, please, Hels.
Okay, so this week's interview is with Fenella Langridge, and it's really good fun. She's very good fun. She's ridiculously talented at many things at the moment, Rob, specifically triathlon. However, as you will find out, I don't know that many pros who also work in a pub and pull a good pint. Do you?
No, I do not.
No? Who are very talented with crafts as well?
Crafts, you say?
Yes.
Like?
You'll hear more.
Okay.
You know, like sort of needle thread making things.
Maybe she can stitch me a little pouch to carry my salt tablets in.
There you go. Fenella, there's the next rest day task for you.
There you go. Love it.
Make Rob a pouch. But on a more serious note, Rob, Fenella has done amazingly well at the 70.3 distance this season so far. She has recently relocated from Cardiff back to England, and yeah, she's doing brilliantly. So here we go. Here is this week's interview with Fenella Langridge. Fenella Langridge, hello, and welcome to the Oxygen Addict Triathlon Podcast. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very, very well. Congratulations on your last couple of results. Amazing.
Yeah, I'm super chuffed. Yeah, really, really happy with how the beginning of the season has started.
Have you surprised yourself?
I wouldn't say that. I always knew I had it. I had something there, and I was a long distance athlete at heart. But I wasn't expecting the podium, so that was a definite surprise and a definite, yeah, really, really happy with them.
And so you had your first. The first podium was in
Pace the Aux in France. So that was, yeah, on the 13th of May this year. It was, oh, it was mad. Like, the days leading up to it were really nice, really sunny. And then even on the morning of, it was quite nice and calm. And suddenly the heavens opened and it got down to about 8 degrees. So it was a rather chilly one. It's more like racing in the UK. Maybe that's why I did a bit better than I thought I would have.
I remember Lucy Gossage saying that it was like one of the coldest races she's ever done.
Yeah, it was. Oh, it was crazy. Like, because it was quite a lot of climbing, so ups and downs, and on the descents you got really cold, and you're going through like mist and fog, and then the rain, and then I remember cycling into T2 and my teeth are chattering. And I had to try and put on my shoes and I just couldn't do it. I was like sat there like, oh no, I'm losing so much time. I just can't get my shoes and socks on. But yeah, you know, numb feet for the beginning of the run.
But then they went. The numbness went.
It soon went. As it was quite a hilly run, so yeah. Soon warmed up, but there was people running around in like space blankets, and and 25% of the field got pulled out because they either maybe because they crashed or because they were just so cold descending on the bike.
Oh man!
Yeah, it was mad. It's different to the week after anyway.
So then the week after, then you rock up in another country and then get on the podium again.
Yeah, well, we drove down to France and then we drove across to Barcelona. So it was a bit weird traveling in our car, just shoving everything in and then going to the next place. So, yeah, rocked up in Barcelona, and then I didn't know what to expect, because obviously racing the week before, my first year racing 70.3, and then that middle week I didn't do very much. But you're like, only on Thursday was I like, I think I might be able to do it. I think I might be able to get to the finish line because my legs are just dead. But yeah, and then I was like, okay, I think I can do this. Just stay positive. Just think about the race. And we drove the course, cycled a bit of it. And then, yeah, the race came and I managed to pull it off. So I'm really happy.
And how did you find racing in the pro field compared to racing maybe as an age group or previously?
I've never actually done an Ironman event previously, so I've never done a 70.3 not as a professional.
Did you feel, okay, I'm ready for this, or did you feel almost more nervous because you're thinking, oh, this is the first time for everything?
No, because I think I came in as a bit, I suppose, an underdog or like a dark horse, so I didn't have anything to lose. I didn't, or if I'd not completed it, it wouldn't matter, because I've got nothing to compare it to. I've got no expectations. I know I've done a lot of work over the winter, but if it went wrong, it went wrong. I think you have to go into most races like that. It's just whatever happens. I just got to enjoy it. This is what I've been training for all winter. So I was actually really excited. I was like, I'm not as nervous as I thought I would be. But maybe it's just deep down, I was confident that I could do it.
That's great. And so when did you actually decide to take out your pro license?
So I was living in Cardiff, where I was racing a lot of like ETU races and British on the British Elite Series, so a lot of sprint and Olympic distances. And then for quite a few reasons we had to move back over the bridge. And
back on the other side.
Yeah, back to the, no, it's not quite the dark side, but
it is the dark
just the different side. They don't have the accents over here, so not quite the same, the people. But yeah, and just to check, because I was training with the Welsh development squad there, and obviously in that tight-knit community, and it was not easier to do the but all of the guys there were doing the elite drafting races. So when I moved, it was kind of like, okay, maybe I should change. And that's where my strengths lie as an athlete, as like Andy, my Andy Lane, my old coach, and Bill, my partner, and my current coach have always said to me, I'm a bit of an aerobic athlete, I'm like a diesel, I'll just keep going. So we're like, okay, let's, if we're going to make the change, let's just make it now while all the other changes are happening.
Do it all at once.
Yeah, why not? It's not stressful at all. Move house, move countries. and then we're like, okay, let's just go for it. And then, yeah, whole winter trying to learn how to ride a time trial bike. So,
and what did you find hardest about learning to ride the time trial bike?
Well, because all my bike sessions in Cardiff, when we were doing hard stuff, I'd be around other people. So we'd be doing like crit style racing at Maindy and going round and round and doing different scenarios. But now I'm sat in the turbo in my garage. It's a little bit lonely. So that's probably the only thing is, it's probably been the hardest thing, the bike and the amount of hours that, because it takes a lot, it's a lot longer on the bike in 70.3. So I've had to really develop my strength and a strength in on the time trial bike and getting to used to the position. And it is different. It's a completely different bike to move and uses completely different muscles, I think. So just developing that strength has been... Well, it's been a long winter and it's been hard, but enjoyable because with anything new, you improve quite quickly at the beginning and then suddenly it slows down slightly, but no, it's been good.
Was it difficult to adapt from training in that group to training on your own?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it has been quite difficult, but I'm completely motivated myself. So, and I'm the one that's always throughout my, even when I was really young, I was the one that's been like, Mom, can you take me here? Dad, can you take me here? I want to go and do this. I want to go do that. So, I'm the one driving it more now, and it's good, and it's something that I really want to do. And some sessions are hard when you're not around other people, but I think especially with 70.3, a lot of your training has to be a bit more individual and it has to be tailored towards you. So that's why I can do whatever I want now, and I know it's improving my performance, and I can be a bit selfish and go off and do whatever I want now, which is really good. And I'm not really on my own. I have Bill. He's always there training with me or coaching on the side. So it's a good relationship and it works really well.
And you don't get annoyed too much with each other?
No, sometimes. But there's like that boundary between a coach and athlete. And then when it's all over, he'll give me a hug and then he's my boyfriend or my partner.
And when did you actually get into triathlon in the first place and how?
I think when I went to university, I was mad into hockey and I did that for my first year. And I was a pretty good level, not like your Natalie Seymour England level, but still pretty high. I think we were in the national division at uni. But then I was just a bit frustrated that any extra work that I did, it didn't reflect in the performances. So I was like, okay, I want to do something for me now. So I went into running in my second year of uni and I did some 10Ks, half marathons. And it's a really strong run group up at Cardiff Met. So with James Thee and that, do you know?
Former Wales Commonwealth Games runner. Yes.
So him and all of his squad, they're amazing. And they're such like inspirational group because they're all so motivated and they all got jobs and they're all working and I think training with them and then moving in triathlon and the centre up at Cardiff Met, just think you learn a lot from the people around you about how to be an athlete and what it means, and it opened my eyes and say, oh, I think I could do this. I think I see people around me doing this at an elite professional level. I think I could do that. So I went from running and then I moved into triathlon in my last year, because I've always swam as a young kid, and I thought, oh, I think I could pick up the bike. And then, yeah, so I moved over and joined the tri squad. It was only about four of us at the time, and then it grew into the Welsh development squad as a couple years on. And it just, yeah, it's getting even bigger now with younger guys coming up. So it's a really good centre now.
So you were totally in the right place at the right time to get in there at the beginning of it.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think they'd take me now if I went back. But yeah, it was. It was, yeah, the right moves at the right time, and just giving it a go, I think, and being like, oh, okay, yeah, I can do this. Let's try.
So what would you be doing if you weren't effectively a full-time, most of the time, a full-time athlete?
I don't know. I did put, well, to make some money in my second and third year of uni, I did personal training for a bit. So maybe some kind of coaching or along those lines. But then I've had so many other jobs along the way to make money. Worked in a law firm, worked in a bike shop, I've worked in a cafe. Actually, my favourite job was probably working in a cafe, just because it's quite sociable, and it's like, I like feeding people. I'm a feeder, so I just, maybe something with food. Yeah, I love cakes and cooking, and I think working at that Snail's Deli in Cardiff really like opened up my eyes to the hospitality business and how rewarding it can be, as well as stressful. But yeah, it's good. And working at home, it's quite good to. I definitely have my own business of some kind, but I don't know what that would be.
But there's time for that yet.
Yeah, there's after this triathlon.
And you mentioned there at home, you told me before we hit record, you pull pints.
Yep, I do. I'm a very good pint pourer. So in Shrewton, the Plume of Feathers. So yeah, my mum's pub, and I work in it occasionally to help her out, which is always fun. The locals are lovely. It's only a wet pub, so no food. It's just really nice, really cheerful. But yeah, I'm a publican, so, as well as a triathlete. So
do they enjoy a bit of triathlon chat at the bar?
Yeah, they do. I think they understand what it is now. Occasional. Well, quite often. So what's that again, that shooting and horse riding? No, sorry, that's something else. But yeah, no, they do know, and they were so happy. I think they all had downloaded the Ironman tracker after the races, and were really excited when they came home. Mum put up bunting outside the pub, and then there was champagne when I came through the door when I got back, which was really nice.
That's amazing. So you've got this big sort of big support group back in your home village.
Yeah.
Of people who have probably known you for a few years, and
yeah, and now they understand what triathlon is, and like, oh, what about that girl? And they list off names. I'm like, how do you know these people? I don't even know them yet. Probably doing all their research. But that's really sweet.
So how many hours do you have to work, would you say, at the moment? Are you working a few hours or?
Yeah, probably about, it does, mum is quite flexible in the ways that if we say, is it all right if we don't work tonight because we've got a very early start in the morning, she's okay. But it's probably about 3 hours a night or 2 hours a night, so it's nothing major. But then we might have to run a few errands during the day and help pick up deliveries and beer orders. So
I don't know how many other triathletes at Race Pro work in a pub as well. I think that's great.
Yeah, I don't think that'd be really. It's probably a bit of a contrast of lifestyles, but yeah, no, it's good. it keeps a roof over my head, so I can't complain.
Exactly, and I imagine you've inspired quite a few of the customers who come in as well.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. Yeah, there's a bit of a sporty community. Like mum helps start a run club, and now that's like Shrewton Run Club's, its members have just doubled in the last year, and it is good. And it's nice to see that more people are out there and interested as well and understand it all. So it is good.
So we said that we would talk about cake. I think it would only be fair to move on to cake for now.
Okay. I'll get my serious chat face on now then.
We can come back to triathlon shortly.
Okay.
So are you fueled by cake on a constant basis?
Yes. Most rides, or I say steady rides, are fueled around by a coffee and cake stop of some kind. We've sussed out some of the best coffee and cake stops around, but maybe need to venture out and find some more.
And you have a rule that you have to have gone for, you know, at least 45 minutes to...
Yeah, that's at least, it could be half an hour on sunrise during the winter, but yeah, maybe at least 45 minutes before we stop. In Mallorca it might change. When we're out there it seems a bit more of a common stop. Oh, that we like that one, we'll stop there. That almond cake, oh, delicious.
And you bake yourself?
Yeah, I do try to. Bill gets not annoyed, he loves the cake, but he's like, Janelle, we've got to eat this. Do you know how many calories are in this cake? I'm like, yeah, it's fine, it's healthy, honestly. Yeah, when it comes to counting calories, I have to be a bit more strict. But there's so many ways you can make cakes that are healthy or healthier that still taste good. So I tend to make more of those kind of.
Do you find it quite relaxing, quite therapeutic?
Yeah, I do. I love it. It's just, no, just making something, creating something, and yeah, it is good. It's, yeah. I like making it all sorts, like make cushions and cards and all that business. But yeah, it's a good distraction away from all the numbers and the, well, sweat and hard work and thinking you have to do in a day-to-day life as a full-time athlete. So
would you come back and you know, other people I guess might read a book or might watch a film or something, and you might do that too, but would you then get out your sort of this tapestry box is not the right word, but you know, your sewing box, like, and just say, right, I'm gonna sort a cushion out now.
Yeah, if mainly more in the off season, or if I've seen something on like Pinterest or something, like, okay, I've got that stuff, I can do that, and I'll go try and attempt to make it. Sometimes it doesn't get finished straight away, and it may be like a week long project or maybe a bit longer, but I will get it done. Or making presents for people, I think it's a lot more like sentimental to give them something you've made rather than something you've just bought.
What's the best thing you've ever made?
Not the best thing, but recently I got my new aero helmet, and I was like, oh, I've got to make something to protect it. So I ended up making like this bag, and I put I don't know what you call, like, some kind of padding in it as well, and it's like a drawstring bag. And it's got, when I went to Nepal in about 2011, and I bought fabric then, and I've just had it lying around for ages, and I finally got to use it. So it's got this like really, it's shiny red like Indian material around it, and then I put this like ribbon drawstring on it, and then there's padding to protect my aero helmet. And Bill said it looks like, because it's all like shiny and red and stuff, and he said it looks like an onion Indian bag. I was like, no, it's for my helmet. But I think that's the best thing I've made recently. I don't think it's the best thing I've made ever, but yeah. And so I've got this shiny red bag to carry around my aero helmet in, which I don't think many other triathletes would have that, but I do. And it's really special.
it sounds like you are a woman of many talents, Vanella.
I try to be, but I wouldn't say I'm a master of any of them. I'll try anything and then give it a go.
And so are you still with Treads Bikes?
No.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. But you were for a few years?
Yeah, I was for a few years. But I think once I moved away from Cardiff, the relationship kind of faded. So, just, yeah. They're a great company, but it just, as I moved away, it's just easier to maybe work with someone a little bit closer or find new bike sponsors. So I'm currently riding Bill's bike, or his old time, well, his time trial bike. And I don't actually have a bike of my own. So
really?
No, I don't. So we like modified Bill's bike it's a really good fit. We didn't think it would be at start, but we've had a bike fit from Magnus Backstead who's out of Newport in Wales, and we set it up and invested in that, and I'm really comfortable in it now. But yeah, it's not my bike. It's still got you can get like stickers for bikes or like helmets and stuff that say your name. It's still got Billy Harris's name on it, and I'm like, oh, it's definitely not my bike, or it definitely will never be. But yeah, hopefully by the end of the season I might be able to pull some bike sponsor's arm to loan me a bike, or at least give me some money off one, because it would be very helpful to get my own bike.
Do you have your own road bike?
No, I still don't have my own road bike, because it was the one I was riding was from Treads, and I had to give that back as I moved away.
Do you have an old mountain bike that you had when you were like 11 years old or something?
Yeah, probably somewhere that maybe a little small, but.
In all seriousness, though, how difficult have you found it? That side of it, the sponsorship side, and the, you know, it's almost like this is your own business side of it, trying to bring other people on board now that you have moved away from Wales and the setup and things like that.
I guess at the beginning, yeah, it was quite hard because you can't really go up to sponsors and say, I'm a 70.3 athlete, but I had no results. You can buy the license, but if you've got nothing to back it up, then they probably won't take much notice of you. So hopefully now, moving into the end of the season, next season, I might be able to build my profile up a bit and show that sponsors that I'm worth sponsoring or supporting, not even, yeah, sponsoring. But yeah, it just feels very false at the beginning of the year. I find it, I'm not very good at asking for or bigging myself up or being like, I'm actually all right at this triathlon thing. I think I'd be a great representation of your brand. Please, can you help me? But there's only so many times you could say no to before it gets a bit hard. So there's been lots of no emails and stuff, a few maybes, but you need something concrete to come through. So hopefully the beginning of next year or at the end of this year can get a few more better deals or good deals. But yeah, it's hard, but then that's triathlon, that's what I chose to do, and I will get there in the end. I know I will.
That's the right attitude to have.
Yeah. So I've got a few support this year from Zone 3, and I've picked up some wheels support from CES Sport, and then Raceskin and my racewear. So those are the ones I've negotiated, and they're really nice people, and I've really enjoyed working with them so far.
So that's it. So then I guess it's a case of just building on from that and saying, actually, you know, a year ago you didn't have any of that.
Mm.
And now you're in a much, much better position than you were. Yes, there's still work to do on that front, but
yeah,
as you say, you've got to get the results, and then it's like this kind of chicken and egg situation, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not going to happen overnight, and I think as long as I'm still enjoying it and everything, then it doesn't really matter what sponsors, and obviously it's nice, but yeah, let's hope. To the end of the season. Let's think about results.
And so this will be going out after Staffordshire. So that will have been and gone. Yeah. So we won't be able to talk about Staffordshire. But then you're hoping to do Edinburgh as well, aren't you? And then what's the ultimate goal, would you say, for this season?
So when we sat down at the beginning of the year with the aims and goals and things that we wanted to achieve, the main focus was just race experience. And just get a season under the belt, learning what it's like to race 70.3, because I haven't done many before, if any, to see how my body reacts after the races, how long it takes me to recover, what's the best way to go into them. But yeah, so all those things just to get a better experience of racing at this level and this distance. So that's the main aim, I guess. If I did qualify for Worlds, then we'd have to seriously think about it, just because it's in South Africa. But it would be an amazing experience just to go there and race against some of the best in the world. But we're gonna have to cross that bridge when it comes. But the main aim for this year is just race experience and get my name out there and just enjoy racing a different distance against different people. And yeah, that's the main thing.
Are there other pros that you look up to as well, especially UK based ones?
Oh, I think you've had most of them on your podcast. There's so many that's past and present, and all the didn't have to go far without hearing Chrissy Wellington's name out there, and just amazing woman, that an endurance queen. And then you got the longer distance girls, so Jodie Swallow, Rachel Joyce, and then Lucy, who I raced against, and I was like, oh, hello, you okay? those people who have been there around for a long time, doing it, making a living from it, and just racing hard and putting the RGB flag on the map, really. But probably most girls, when they see a British flag, they're probably a little bit intimidated now, because they're like, oh gosh, another Brit, they're gonna be strong. And then the young guns, like Holly Lawrence, Lucy Charles, Emma Pallant, Nikki, who you have on the podcast.
So what's the ultimate goal, Vanilla, would you say, as a professional triathlete?
World championships. Yeah, definitely. So 70.3 podium in the next 2 to 3 years. And then as I get a bit older and stronger and more disciplined, then move on to Kona, the island of dreams, I've heard.
I love it. And would you say, Fennell, what's your sort of strongest, swim, bike, run, or the combination of all three?
Probably swim, but the other two aren't too shabby. So I think I can hold my ground across all three, I would say. Yeah, definitely. The working with Billy and the Triforce team, I definitely think that I've got a good base at all three, and I can only see improvement in all three, so I wouldn't say just one.
Do you have a favourite part of a triathlon?
The end. I like the beginning when the music's on and it's like doof 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 doof, and then you're just about to go, and just the build up that's. And then when you go really fast on the bike, that's pretty fun too.
So you don't get the pre-race nerves that lots of people get then?
No, I do. But looking back, that's what I think what makes the race, is those nerves. And then you suddenly dive into the water and then all of it's gone, and you've just got to concentrate on getting to that first buoy as quick as you can. And then, get that race plan underway.
And the favourite thing to do when you've crossed that finish line?
Well, it's that elated feeling that you've actually done it and you've completed it, because you never know at the start of the day what might happen. So you just hope that A, B and C comes together and you can cross the line. So just, yeah, I think to finish any race or even to sign up for any race at any level is an achievement in itself. So to put yourself on that start line or start list and then to get out and finish it, I think everyone should be proud at the end of every race, even if it didn't go as well as it, you might have hoped.
And finally, one final question. What would your top tip be to anyone listening to this?
In regards of training or life?
Ah, well, you know, we could go life, but I reckon let's go training or racing. Life, we might be here forever.
Oh, yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah.
But then, yeah.
That could be a long...
Yeah, I could list off a few things.
Yeah. Let's go... Let's go training or racing.
Okay. Don't overcomplicate it and enjoy the small gains that you make each day, day in, day out. Be it like training goals or like nutritional goals or... And remembering those, because I think often we overlook where we've come from and how far we've come. So, yeah, the small gains each day, I think.
And are you off to pull pints this evening?
Yes. Yeah, I am actually. I'm going to be working now, but Bill said he would do me a favour while I was talking to you and pull some pints instead.
Right, get off. Go and pull pints.
No, keep talking and then he'll keep working downstairs. He'll be getting more and more annoyed.
Are Monday nights busy in the pub?
So, it does vary, like depending on the weather. But okay. Yeah, it's not the busiest night. No, it's not too mad. Sit down and have a chat with the locals about their dogs mainly. So yeah, it's quite nice.
Don't let your mum hear this. She'll get you doing more hours.
I know. Jeff, Fenella, what are you doing?
Fenella, really good luck for the rest of the season. And thank you so much for coming on the Oxygen Addict Triathlon podcast.
Cheers.
And then Rob, she has since tweeted, since we've done the interview, she says, could my smile get any bigger today? I think it just did as I received my confirmation email from Ironman Tri for World Championship. As a first year pro, it wasn't even on my radar when we planned our season, but I'm so excited to toe the line against the world's best.
Brilliant. Tell you what, you can't say better than three podiums in your first three races in your first pro year, can you?
No, she's done she's done brilliantly. Yeah. And she's so softly spoken and quietly spoken with it. And like you heard there in the interview, she's still working hard, helping her mum out in the village pub. And yeah, just very, very grounded human being.
Good. Well, congratulations, Fenella. We look forward to hearing more about your success in the future. Great stuff. All right, let's jump over and have a look at some news this week. What's been happening in the world of triathlon, Hells?
Just a couple of bits, Rob. It's been announced that the 70.3 World Championships will either be in Taupo or in Perth, so in the Southern Hemisphere, in 2020.
Fantastic.
Do you think many Brits will be heading over? I reckon.
I think that's the kind of... That's the kind of lifestyle, once in a lifetime holiday destination type event that it would certainly attract me, for sure.
Yep.
Taupo and Perth, I would think. Yeah, that would be a real good excuse to go down there, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it would. Both places. I haven't. No, I think I have been to Taupo as a 5-year-old, Rob, but I don't really remember that. No. Not been to Perth, but no. Funnily enough,
the other way around. Been to Perth, but not Taupo. But if it's in Taupo, I'd be seriously tempted to
give it a crack.
To go and give that a crack. Yeah, definitely.
Well, Rob, after third in your age group at Lakesman half.
Who knows? Maybe there's a second win to my career, Hells.
Get on it.
Yeah. And then, go on, what else have we got here?
Well, right, is this new or is this not new? But when I was looking up Triathlon X, did you know that you can do Triathlon X Extreme?
I have been made aware of this, yeah.
So this is going to
utterly bonkers event you've seen in the history of utterly bonkers events, isn't it?
Well, right, it's going to be on the 25th of May in 2019. And it says, the toughest just got tougher. 140 miles, right, elevation, Rob, 24,000 feet. It says here, the bike section climbs 12 mountain passes, all over 20%. And then it gets worse. Hard Knot, the steepest pass in the UK at 33%, is climbed four times. Okay?
Yep.
And then the run ascends over basically nearly 9,000 foot, twice summiting Helvellyn.
So basically it goes from Ambleside, you climb up the struggle and you drop down into Glenridding. Then you turn round and you come back from Glenridding over and drop down into Ambleside. And then you turn round and you do that again and come back into Ambleside. So both directions twice. And then you ride out over Hard Knot and what's the other one? Hard Knot and...
Rhinos, Kirkstone. Yeah.
Rhinos and Hard Knot. And then you turn around and you come back over them. And then you turn around and you go back over them. And then you turn around and you come back over them again.
Oh my God.
I know, it's the most utterly... Yeah, and I can't even begin to imagine how painful that would be. So, needless to say, we're going to have to sign up for it.
Well, I'm not going to, but you can. And if you do, I'll come and cheer you on. Rob, it does say here that, you know, mandatory cutoff times must be met.
You've got to be finished by the end of the year.
Well, no, it says you must finish the event within the 20 hours of daylight available. Blimey.
Oof, that's a tough ask.
Yeah, it's not one for me, as I've previously suggested. I don't think it's... It's not my cup of tea, Rob.
Well, we'll see. Never say never, Hells. Never say never.
Oh, my God. Right, Rob Wilby goes to extreme in 2019.
Never say never.
That'll be really
never.
Good prep for an age group podium, Rob.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see, Helen. Never say never.
Wow. Okay. Anyway, Rob, are we doing one more thing?
Yeah.
Okay, which is telling people about nominations for the Tribe Triathlete of the Month Award.
Send in your nominations for the Tribe Triathlete of the Month Award to helen@oxygenaddict.com. So if you or someone that you know has done something spectacularly good, amazing, kind, brilliant, or just in any way generally awesome, let us know. It doesn't have to be just a race result. It can be that you stopped to help somebody during a race. It can be one of your friends has overcome an illness. Anything that's brilliant and inspiring, get it through to us, please. You have until the 25th of June to get it to us, and we will have it in the next week's show when we decide who we think the winner should be. You'll win a Tribe t-shirt and a pack of 18 delicious, nutritious shakes, bars and other goodies from our friends over at wearetribe.co. So yeah, get those emails fired in, please.
Brilliant.
That's it, isn't it? That's it for this week's show, pretty much, Hels.
That is it. We just need to let people know, Rob, that by the time we record this next week, well, we might not even be in a position to record it, let's be honest.
Tell them what we're doing.
So we're doing the coast to coast in a day, which is a 150-mile bike ride. It's not just Rob and I doing it, because that might be interesting. It's going to be an organised event, isn't it? The guys that do the Open 5 events, which we've talked about in the past, they do two crazy bike sportive things. One of them is Wales in a Day. Oh, my God, where you go from North to South Wales and you realise quite how big Wales is. And the other one is the one that we're doing, which is from Seascale over to Whitby, and we go over some of those horrendous Lake District passes that we've just been talking about.
Mentioned crazy passes we've just talked about. Yeah, West Coast to East Coast, one day's worth of riding. I don't know whether you've seen Jeff's email, but did you know we have to ride 6 miles to the start in the morning as well? So it's going to be 156 miles.
Yeah, and in addition to that, the little rest on the ferry, which I was very much looking forward to, isn't happening because the ferry's not in action.
I know, that's a heartbreaker. Originally, for the listeners, you get to ride to the ferry over Windermere, and you get off and you have an ice cream on the ferry as it goes over and get off at the other. No, ferry's broken, so we don't even get to do that.
No, it's just going to be
Should we stop and
brutal.
have an ice cream anyway?
Yes, I Rob, if it's anything like Italy, I will be demanding ice cream at 3 p.m. I made sure I clicked on all the food stops because clearly that's quite important, and I'm already looking forward to the one which has pies.
They have pies at one of the food stops.
Yeah, towards the
Get
latter end part of the
in.
day. Yeah, I'm going to
Love
be
it.
dreaming of pies for most of the day. Yeah, I'm slightly scared, Rob, because as we know, I haven't done a whole load of training. I've done my one 120 mile bike ride and a very hilly 60 mile bike ride.
Nice work. I've
Thanks.
completed Half Lakesman in preparation, where my undercarriage gave up at the 70k mark. So, what's to worry about? Just another couple of 100 kilometers to go. I'll be fine. What's the worst that could happen?
Oh my God. I'm just going to ignore it for a few more days, and hopefully we'll be in
Yeah.
a good place to record next week.
So, watch out for our social media channels where Helen and I will be in various states of disarray. Hell, we will be like Top Gun, right? You can be Maverick and
Cool.
I'll be Goose. We leave no man behind.
No.
Is that
I'm
even
with you.
Top Gun?
I've no idea, but
Leave
it
no
sounds
man
good.
behind? What film's that from? It's not Top Gun.
I've no idea.
It's from one film, I'm sure. It's a cheesy 80s movie.
Black Hawk Down.
There you
Soundtrack.
go. Or
I'll be
something like
thinking of
that.
that.
Right, anyway. So this might be the last you ever hear of Helen and I.
Yes.
We might be found shivering uncontrollably on a hillside. If next week's edition is laid out, that's where we are, everyone, anyway. All right, so listen, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, get out and do something inspirational with this upcoming week. It will be the solstice at some point over the coming week on Thursday, I believe. Longest day of the year. Get out either on Thursday or over the weekend and do something utterly bonkers like we're doing to get out and see the sunrise, get out and see the sunset. And ideally, be exercising during both of those things happening because we can, right?
True, because we can, because we can. Yeah,
So,
I'm
massive
feeling
thanks.
nervous already, Rob.
No, it's going to be great. So, listen, massive thanks to our sponsors, precisionhydration.com. Remember, you can use the code OXYGENADDICT to get yourself £9.99 worth of free product. And also, thanks to our patrons who support the show. If you want to find out about becoming a patron, you can click the link in the show notes. Clink the link in the show notes or click the link on the web page. And yeah, send us your nominations for the Tribe Triathlete of the Month. Other things you can do to support the show, it'd be ace if you could leave us a review on iTunes. That really helps us get up the rankings as though we care about that kind of stuff. And it's also great if you can, I'd really appreciate it if you could share it with one of your friends who's into triathlon but maybe hasn't heard about the show. That'd be awesome as well. Spread the word, spread the love, and let's grow the triathlon community in the UK. All right, Hells, I will see you on Friday morning. Time to get on the bus, load our bikes into a van, and travel to the Lake District to ride for an entire day. Can't wait. It's going to be awesome. Everybody
See
else,
them.
yeah, I'll see you all soon. Cheers, everyone. See ya.